Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shmir Salashan class learning. We will begin with the Tfil Al Hadibur, please. Ribbono Shel Olam, Yehi Ratzon Bifanecha Al Rachem V'Chanin Shetizikeni Hayim V'Chol Yom Neshmar Pi U'Lashonim Milashen Har U'Rechilas Ezaher Milidaber Afilu Al Ish Yachin V'Kol Shekein Am Kla Yisrael Ho Al Chedek Mehem V'Kol Shekein Mil Yisraim Al Midos Shel Kol Shbarcho Ezaher Milidaber Divrei Sheker Chanufa Mechlokas Ka'as Gaiva Ho Na'as Dvarim Ho Banas Panim Leitzanas V'Chol Dibur Asur V'Zakeni Shelo Lidaber Gibdaber Hatzarich Inyanei Gufi V'Navshi V'Yu Kol Ma'asai Amen. We are learning Lilui Nishmas on the Zecher Nishmas, Tzvi Gersh and Minyo Vachana, Lavasham, is Nisham Heaven Aliyah, and the Merit of our Torah, also with your permission, for Besoros Tovas and Rufua, for Bracha Vigaya, Basracha Geta, Sachsh Archale Yisrael. We are on page 146, please. Last time we spoke about Hakar Satov, the Midah focusing on the good. If you see the good, you don't speak Lashon Hara because you don't see anything negative to speak. If you see the good, you see the good in your Baruch Shem and life all around you. We spoke last time, we quoted the speech that a young teenage girl gave in Camp Simcha. And we spoke about a Hakar Satov diary, really, which is what the Chafetz Chaim speaks about. Never mind today's psychologists. Yeah, he precedes them. And someone who listens online, I texted Alyssa, actually went out to the mall and she bought a gratitude journal. And not only did she buy one for herself, she bought one for me. So it's really something that's very helpful to just list what we are grateful for. Okay. So, where are we? The bottom of page 146, correct? Okay. So that's what we spoke about last time. The other thing we spoke about last time is you shouldn't get too excited. Just to recap, I'm looking in the sefer here. You shouldn't get too excited about anything because once someone gets too excited, a person will end up saying things that are not appropriate to say. And we spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu three different times. Balakal ka'as. He came to the category of anger. Therefore, balakal ta'us. And therefore, we made mistakes. So those are two things we spoke about last time. Moving on. Afshuhu roa. Today we're going to really be speaking about being down the kaf zechus and the importance of a chabura, a healthy group of friends that will bring you up. Because so often we have to ask ourselves, what kind of friends do we have? What does the conversation revolve around when we are with other people, when we're at a Shabbos table? What are things that we are talking about with those around us? After who wrote Akam an Nashim Chashuvim, even if you see several important people, She'enam Zihirim B'Koach HaDibur, they are not Zahir. Zahir means to be on guard. How does it translate here? They're not careful to discipline their speech. Al Yomad Meham, you should not learn from them. So there's this mid of Zihirus. You should be on guard. You should be very careful. And you have to be zohir with any mitzvah. So let's look at the Maseilas Yesharim. Let's see what the Maseilas Yesharim has to say on Midas HaZahirus. Midas HaZahirus is this midah of being on guard. You might see people who are not zahir. They are not zahir with Koach HaDibur, and that cannot be our way. We must be zahir, on guard, careful with all inyanim, and specifically with Koach HaDibur, because like the Chafetz Chaim says, Al Yamad Mehem, you should not learn from such people. So if you look at the Maseilas Yesharim piece, it says Perek Dalet, B'derech Kinias HaZihirus. This is the acquisition of, or the acquiring of, this midah of, you know what's translated in English here? Vigilance, okay? So to be Zahir, in our sefer, it's translated as careful, I said on guard, which is really like a shomer, or the act of vigilance. So let's look inside. So I just gave you an excerpt here. V'huj Masha Amar Shlomo Melech. This is what Shlomo Melech Olav Hashem says in Kohalas, it's Perek Tes Pasuk Yur. Kol Asher Timtza Yadcha Lasos B'Cholchacha Asa. Everything that you are able to do with your strength, you should do. Kim Ein Ma'asa V'Chashbon B'Das. The Pasuk finishes, there is no deed, there is no account, there is no knowledge. What is this talking about? Hainu. Kimasha ein ha'adam. Oh, good morning. Here, pass this out, please. Hainu. So we're in the second paragraph of the Maseilas Yesharim. Kimasha ein ha'adam osa. What a person. Where am I? One second. I'm just looking at my sefer. Kimasha ein ha'adam osa adcha koch musar biyadam ibaro. A person cannot do. Hold on a second. A person cannot do while he says. A person can't do anything. The only reason we can do anything is because Hashem gives us koch to do so. Just last night, it was a very, very long weekend. Very busy Shabbos, Motzei Shabbos, Sunday, Baruch Hashem. That's good thing. Thank God. I was just very busy. So I dropped my son off at Yeshiva Gedola last night at 7:45 p.m. It was really like very busy. And we were both so tired. I still had an appointment. He was going to Yeshiva to learn. And we just looked at each other. I sighed and I said, Baruch Nosi in the of Koch. And he said, I was just about to say those exact words. So we realized that, of course, Ki Masha Ein Adam Osa, a man cannot do anything. Acha Koch Musar B'Yadam Yibaro, until the Ribbono Shel Olam gives you Koach in your hand to do this. Hu hakoach habechiri. What does God? What koach does God give you besides for physical strength? He gives you the power of what we call
choice.
Free will. Hamusar lo, who it is given over to. Kol yemei chayav shehu baham bechiri. What is it? Umitzuva la'asos. You have a choice. You're commanded to do. V'charta b'chaim l'man tiche. We're coming up to Parshas Nitzavim. Nasate lefnechem hayam hachaim v'amavis hatova esara. Abracha akala v'charta b'chaim l'man tiche. So you have a choice. You have a choice. Hine lo yuchal la'asos od bakever. Once a person is in the grave, one person has descended to the depths, you can't do anything. Then you don't have any koach. Kimishalo here b'masim tovim b'chayav. One who has not amassed, this is not only appropriate for Midas HaZehirus, which we just saw in the Chafetz Chaim in our Sefer, which is why we're learning this, but it's also very, very relevant for the month of Elul as we approach the Yom Hadin, for us to keep this in mind. He who did not amass Ma'isim Tovim, good deeds in his life, I Avshar Lo La'asosam Acharei Chayin. Once you don't do it in this world, after 120 years, there is no more chance. Umi Shelo Chishev Chashbon Ma'asov, and a person who does not think, that means he just, he doesn't make a chashbon of his deeds. He doesn't make an accounting. He just goes through life, going through the motions without thinking. Lo yelos manach shovoaz. You're not going to have any time after the Yitzias HaNashama to think about anything then. Umishlo hischakeim ba'olam hazeh. What's the root there? You could see the root, right? It's very obvious. Chacham, one who did not become wise. Ba'olam hazeh. Lo yitchakeim ba'kever. Whatever you don't amass here, whatever zihirus, vigilance, diligence, on guard, carefulness, you did not amass in this world, ma'isim tovim, all that zihirus has to leave you, Torah ma'isim tovim, you're not going to amass in the next world. Like the Pasuk says in Kohelis, ki ein masa v'chashbon v'das v'chachma b'sha'ol asher ata holech shama. There is no deeds, there's no accounting, there's no wisdom, there's no knowledge in the depths of the grave to where you are going. So this is what the Mesillas Yeshayim, the famous Ramchal, has to say on Midas HaZihirus. One more short paragraph. Any questions or comments?
You know.
Just started. Acha ha'ara l'chol ha'amod. What will motivate the ha'ara? How would you translate a ha'ara? You had a ha'ara. How would you translate ha'ara?
I thought it was like a new thought.
Okay, so the thought, very good, that will motivate the masses for the chol ha'amod is what? Hine hu b'inyan haschar va'onash atzmam. So even if you can't think that you should be a better person and that maybe you should change your deeds, you can contemplate the idea of reward and punishment. B'ra'os omek ha'din. How appropriate for coming up to Yom HaDin, when he sees the depth of judgment ad heichan magia, until how far Midas HaDin reaches. Asher be'emes ra'ui, in truth, it is worthy lihizda'azeya ulihizcharei tamid. You should be trembling, you should be fearful always, and this is, if this is not for El, then I don't know what is. When you contemplate Din, the Omek HaDin, the depth of God's judgment, how can you not tremble? How can you not be afraid? Ki mi ya'amod b'yam HaDin umi yitzda. Yom HaDin. And he's not talking about the Yom HaDin we're coming up to. The Mesillas Yeshayim is talking about Admeya Ve'asim Shana, but we are coming up to Yom HaDin. And there is a whole new year, a past year being accounted for, and a new year being granted. And who can stand on the Yom HaDin? I believe Rav Salvechik quotes about his, I don't remember. I don't believe it was his father. It may have been his grandfather, Chaim Brisker, or his father, the Beis Halevi, who did not eat on Rosh Hashanah because of a sense of pacha. They couldn't eat. It was such a sense of terror. And sometimes we lack that. We don't remember. By the way, you should eat. You should go home and have a Yom Tov meal. It's also a Yom Tov meal. We believe that we will all be inscribed as Ezra Hashem Yisparach and the Sefer HaChaim. But there should be an idea. Rabbi Willick said a couple weeks ago in his Shabbos Drasha, I think it was the first Shabbos of Elul, or maybe it was Shabbos Bevarachem, Elul, I don't know if I said it here, but he said it used to be there's such a pachad in Elul that people in the Al Tahaim were afraid. You have the sense of ra'ui lihizda'azeya, that was worthy to tremble, lihitcharei tamid, and to have a sense of yira. He said today, it's totally lost. Today, what do they say about Elul? Oh, it's Elo, all of a shalom. Meaning, Elo is all of a shalom. There's no Elo. Elo has passed from our conscious. We don't even realize what it is. Who could stand before his creator? Ba'asher hashkafaso midduk dekes al kol davar katan v'gadol. God's gaze is midaktik, is exacting on everything that we do, small or big. V'chein amu rabbeseinu zichronam levracha. So say the sages in Maseches Chagiga. Umada magid lo'adam ma'aseicho. We will tell a man what is his conversation. That's a pasuk from Amos. Afilu, says the Gemara, expands upon a chagiga, afilu sicha kala shebein ish liishto, even light banter. Is that the translation of sicha kala? Light conversation between a man and his wife, magidin lo the adam b'sha'as hadin. Even that light sicha between two spouses, between a husband and a wife, will be told, will be recounted, will be brought to trial for a man at the time of din. So this is just a small excerpt from the parak on zihirus, on being on guard. So with having said all that, so we have to, what did we just learn from the Sinus Hashem? What we have to do is we only can be on guard while we're still in Olam Hazad. And then once a person is in the Kever, and once a person is in the Sha'ol, at Mayav Asim Shana, there is no more time to be exacting, and there's no more time to be on guard, and there is no more time to do Tovim, Maisim Tovim, and Sadaka, and Chasad. He who's in the Sha'ol cannot praise the Ribbon Shalom, and therefore the Sinus Hashem says you have to make good choices while the Koach of Bechira is still in your hand, while the neshama still burns alive within man, you must make the proper choices. And if you can't contemplate it on that level, at least you could have a mind, schar va'onesh. You should at least be able to contemplate omek hadin, the depths of judgment. You could pass then. You could also share with the person sitting next to you. Two people could share if necessary, please. You should at least be able to contemplate the effect of schar and onesh. And we're coming up to Yom Hadin, and it's a sobering thought. It shouldn't be for us, oh, Elo, al v'sham. It's Elo, and what does that mean? Af, so let's start that again, now that we just spoke a little bit about Zahirus, okay? Af shehu roa, I'm at the bottom of page 146. Af shehu roa kama anashim chashuvim. Even if you see important people, she'einam zihirim b'koach hadibur. You might see a prominent person, you might see a person of stature, you might see a community member, an important person who is not zahir with the power of speech. Al yamad mehem, like we just learned, what you should learn to be zahir, we looked in the Maseilas Yashar. V'hi l'neged einav ma'isa de'eshim v'arba alef tamidim. Who should you have in mind? When we say 24,000 Talmidim, obviously we're talking about the very famous 24,000 Talmidim, Shahayalo the Rabbi Akiva, the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Even they, as great as they were, what do we see? Just see in the Maseilas Yesharim. Does anyone remember the words? You should contemplate Omek Hadin. We saw the words that you should contemplate the Omek Hadin. So when you look at the students of Rabbi Akiva, that is a very good example of Omek Hadin. You would think that they might get a free pass. Their Rabbi was the God of Hadar. Hashem will surely be forgiving. It's okay. We'll find a way out for them. Basof, says the Chavetz Chaim, Pagaba Hamidas Hadin. Even for them, there was no out. Ad shalona hagu kavod al, sorry, al shalona hagu kavod zebazeh. Why? Because they did not give honor to one another. So we're going to go to one more piece from the Maseilas Yesharim, which I gave out all the handouts, but it is in Parakeh. Please just share. Everyone has. So instead of, you could just please share with the person next to you, and then everybody could see. Okay? So in Parakeh, the first excerpt that we had was in Parak Dal, and Midas HaZihirus. Acquiring vigilance. This parak is called, once you acquire vigilance, the next parak, parak hey, is mafsidei hazihirus. What causes you to? What did I just say? What's lahafsid hazihirut? Mafsidei hazihirut. To lose, very nice, to lose this midah of diligence, v'haharchak mehem, and what takes you far away. So first, the Maseilas Yesharim says, you have to be zahir. Like the Chavetz Chaim said, you have to be zahir. And then the Chavetz Chaim gave you an example of what causes one to lose zahirus. And what was his example? The 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. So this reminded me of the next parak of the Maseilas Yesharim, because the Maseilas Yesharim speaks about what causes you to lose vigilance, or diligence, or being on guard. Three things, says the Maseilas Yesharim. We're only going to look at the third one. The first one is the confusion of this world. Hatipul v'hat rida ha'olamis. Being involved in matters of this world, We're gashmistic people, and we have a lot of gashmistic things to take care of. I don't mean fancy gashmistic, I just mean base physicality. This world is a challenging place. Hatipul v'hatrida ha'olamit. You're involved too much in this world, and it causes you to lose your midas hazihiris. The second, hasichok v'halatzon. It's really worthy to do this in this class also, because in the Tefillah Al Hadibur, we speak about leitzanos. Schok, laughter, v'halatzon, and being a mocker. Hashlishi, the third, in the introduction, the Mesillas Yesharim writes, Hachevra Hara'a. What's Chevra Hara'a?
Bad friends.
Bad influence of bad friends. So, again, the Chavetz Chaim first tells us, if you see people who are not Zahir, you must be Zahir. The second thing the Chavetz Chaim tells us is, for example, the students of Rabbi Akiva. So it really reminded me of this piece in the Mesillas Yesharim. V'hamafsid hashlishi. So we're only going to the third category. You know what? I'm not going to know what I gave you. Could two people share? No, you guys need it. Please share. Okay, because I didn't give you the whole excerpt. It was a little bit more lengthy, so I took out a little bit. Hamafsid, you're all welcome to look it up inside if you want to see the whole thing inside yourself. V'hamafsid hashlishi. When a person associates with, how would you translate tipshim? Simple people, fools, right? Tipesh, today tipesh really means what? A stupid person, exactly. So chavra hatipshim, when you associate with the fools, v'hachotim, and the sinners. V'hu masha kasuv omer, and this is what the pasuk says in Mishlei, v'roa chisilim, not roa like to see, that's with an aleph, roa with an ayin is what? It could either be a shepherd, correct, or it also is re'acha v're'acha al ta'azo v'avta re'acha kameucha, and what? Friends, exactly. Mishloach manus ish l're'eyu, ha'roach chesilim, he who befriends fools, ye ro'ach, he himself will become broken. By the way, Teruah is the same Shoresh. There's a lot going on here. We could do a whole Shudra Sons Pasuk, but we're not, because it's Re'acha, it's Shepherd, it's broken. Teruah is a broken sound. It's the same root. Reish Ayin, it's the tu-tu-tu-tu-tu-tu-tu-tu-tu. So here, Ro'ach Silim, he who befriends fools, Ye Ro'ah, based on Teruah, which is a broken sound, what does it mean? He will become broken himself. Kihine anachnu roim pa'amim rabas. You could see this happen many times. Afilu echad shenis ames esa ha'adam chovas ha'avoda v'hazirus bo. You even have someone. And it's nit ames. What's the shorosh? If I'm learning, I don't know what something means like for the shorosh. MS. That's exactly right. The truth is so clear to him. The truth has become reality for him. He has a chova. He has an obligation to do this work. And he's a chova to be zahir. Yisrape mimenu. He will be weakened from him. Oh, ya'avar al eza dvar mimenu, or he will become over. Kedei shelo yil'agu alav chaveirav. I still remember what somebody said here a year ago, or I don't know, a year and a half ago, when at one instance when she said, you know, maybe we shouldn't talk to Sun Haras. What did the people say to her? Do you remember? Oh, you think you're so religious? And that's exactly what Mesillas Yesharim is writing here, and that's exactly this nekuda that we're learning today from the Chafetz Chaim, that we have to be careful not to associate, like the 24,000 Talmidim, Rabbi Akiva, the Midas Hadin, ultimately caught up with them, but in a way, perhaps, it's hard to say, but the Chafetz Chaim uses an example, they were motivating each other, not for the positive, but for the negative. So here you have someone, it's the reality so true to him that he has to be Zahir, but it's very hard. Kedei shelo yil'agu alav chaveirav. He doesn't want people to make fun of him. Oh, kedei lehit arev imahem. He wants to become friends with them. He wants to be part of their chavra. And think about this, you know, we all think, oh, that's not me. But really think about it. When a person is in a situation where you know the reality, you come to this class or you listen online and you're really working on it and you daven for Chovas HaShemir and you say Kapitul Lamed Dalet every day, me and Shechavetz Chaim, or Mamirst, or Ev Yamim, or something. You can really try, you know, Tzor HaShanachar. And then it's not so easy, when you're in a matzav, when you're with a group of people and they start to speak something that you know is forbidden, whether it's Leitzanus of the Gedolim, or it's Motzi Shema, or it's Rechilis, or it's Lashon Hara, or it's Divrei Kaas, and it's very easy to get caught up in the conversation. And we should not think, the Chavetz Chaim and the Mechal are not talking to somebody else. They're talking to every single one of Bnei Adam. And even if we reach a point where you know the MS, it's not so easy to refrain from becoming involved in that negative speech. even if it's true. Why? You don't want people to make fun of you. You want to be part of the chavra. Nobody likes to be the sore thumb who's standing out. Nobody wants to be the embarrassed person that everyone is making fun of. And that's a reality. This is what Shlomo Melech says in Mishlei. Im shonim al tisarev. Do not mingle with im shonim. If people change, l'shanot is to change. If people change their ways, al tisarev. Do not mingle with them. Don't become part of that arevus. Ki im yomar lecha adam. Maybe someone will, you know, the Yetzer Hara tries to quote Torah to get you to sin. La'olam te dato sha'adam me'orevasim abriyus. Wait a minute. The Chazal say a person's mind should always be pleasant with people. You should always strive to be with the chabura people. Af ata amarlo. What's the answer? Memadvarim amurim b'vnei adam sha'osim ma'asei adam. Ach lo b'vnei adam sha'osim ma'asei behema. Look at this. Yes, it's true. You should always try and be pleasant. A ravus doesn't, it's another shir in and of itself, doesn't only mean guarantors, it also means to be pleasant. For Arvala Hashem Minchas Yehuda Rishalayim Kimeyam Mechshanim Kamadios Va'arevna Hashem Al-Kunis Devei Sarash Chabafiyam Saram Chabay Israel. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. One pasuk is all the way at the end of Shemona Esrei. One pasuk is all the way at the beginning of Brachos. So a ravus, I first heard this from Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schachter many years ago. Arevus doesn't only mean guarantor, it means also pleasant. That's how he explains Kleisra Arevim Zebazat. So Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schachter doesn't only mean we're all guarantors from one another, it also means we have to be nice, pleasant to one another. So someone might come and he say to you, Laholam te dato shadam revisim abrios. Don't you have to be nice to everybody else? Doesn't your mind have to be even with everybody else's mind? Don't you have to be on even keel? Don't separate yourself from the tzibur. So that's what he might tell you. So, oh, maybe I should be having that conversation with them. Maybe I shouldn't separate myself. Rav Palm, I've said it many times, we're coming up to Rosh Hashanah. So the most dangerous Aaron Rosh Hashanah is when? You remember? We've quoted it. Who remembers? What's the most dangerous Aaron Rosh Hashanah?
Right when you leave Shul.
Everyone talks about the rabbi's drasha. Babal Tefillah took too long. I don't like the tunes. What was he thinking? It wasn't inspiring. It was inspiring. It was too quiet. It was too loud. It was too long. It was too slow. And the Baal Tokeya, he didn't do such a good job. Rabbi Palm says that's the most dangerous Aaron. Rabbi Lau brings down in his sefer on Yachal Yisrael Pirkei Avos. We just read on Shabbos, this past Shabbos, we read Pirkei Avos Prakim Aleph Ubeis, because the last 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah we dub Bab. So we finish all six Prakim in time. Kol Yamai Gadalti Bein HaChachamim V'lo Matzati Meguf Tov L'Guf Tov Mishtika. Rabbi Lau brings down that the Vilna Gaon, he has a letter, they have a letter from the Vilna Gaon where he advised the females in his family not to go to shul. It's better to, I'm not telling you what to do, I'm not saying we should do this, but it's an idea to keep in mind that it's better to stay at home and daven privately than to put yourself into such a matzav where you might come to be nichshol. So what should you answer the Yetzer? You should say, yes, I should try and be me'orevus imabrios, but those are people who act like people and not people who act like animals. Ushlomo mazhir od. Furthermore, leich mi neged ish ksil. Let me just see something. Do you still have this here? Yes. It's the third line from the bottom of page one. And the time is going very fast. One second. Okay. David HaMelech says, let's just skip a little. We're running out of time. David HaMelech says, Ashri ha'ish asher lo, you know this is the first pasuk of Sefer Tehillim. Ashri ha'ish asher lo halach batzas rishaim uvader chata'im lo amar uvamoshev leitzim lo yashav. Ashri ha'ish, fortunate is he, asher lo halach bader chutzaim, he does not walk on the path. Uvader chata'im lo amar, first he doesn't walk, and he's standing in one place, and finally what's he doing? Sitting. Umoshev leitzim lo yashav. Ukvar peishu zelashan. The Gemara says kinseches avodazar im halach. The progression is first he's walking, then he's standing in place, and then he's finally, what's he doing with them? Sitting down. Lo yoshev b'sha'ar sodom. Lo did not begin by sitting in the sha'ar sodom. It was a process into the pit of tuma. If he walk, in the end he will stand. Imamad sofa leishev. So a person progresses to this descent. One sec here. Okay, turn over. Where did I bring this from? One second. Okay. V'im ye'ara. Ye'ara lo. If you find yourself, if you realize, she'yimatze b'cheves mi she'yil ag olav, you find yourself in the company of he who will make fun of you. Lo yashis libo al halahagu. Don't pay attention. Your heart should not pay attention to the fact that they're mocking you. Adaraba. The exact opposite. Yilag al maligav via vi vazem. What did he just say? The opposite. What should you do? Hello?
Feel sorry for the one.
That's exactly right. You should be mocking the scoffers. You should be embarrassing them. Now, I don't know if we recommend that. I don't think you have to do that publicly, but at least in your mind, you should have in your mind, they are mocking me. I should be. You're the ones who are to be mocked. V'yachshu bedato. Oh, he says it right here. You should think in your mind. Ki lule hayalo laharviach mamon harbe. Ha-haya maniach ma-shahaya tzarich hazah mipnei chaveirov shalo yalidu. If you had an opportunity to make $1 million, what's a mitzvah worth? Can't put a monetary value on a mitzvah. If you had the opportunity to make a lot of money, your friends were laughing at you, but you knew you were going to make a lot of money. They thought it was a silly business venture, a silly opportunity. And you know if you did this, no matter how silly it seemed, you're going to come home with $1 million. Would you not go to make $1 million because your friends find it amusing? That's ludicrous. That's asinine. Kol shekein shelo yirtzel abid nishmaso. Do you want to lose your soul mipnei la'ag because of these scoffers, these mockers, these ones who make fun? Va'al derech zeh hizhiru zichonam levracha. And the Mishnah warns us, heve az kenamer, ratz kitzvi, gibar ka'ari, la'asos, rutzan avicha shabashamayim. Why are we running? Why are we flying? Why are we swift and light and quick? Because of Ritzon Avicha Shabashamayim. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or what anybody else wants of that. And then he quotes a pasuk from Tehillim. David HaMelech says, V'adarba be'edosecha negdim ha'achim v'lo evosh. David HaMelech says, when I stand amongst kings, I will not be embarrassed to speak about Torah. You might think that David HaMelech, who is a world leader, who built the city of Yerushalayim, would be embarrassed to speak about Torah. I might be embarrassed to be a firm Jew. I might want to cover up. I might want to talk. I want to do what everybody else is doing. Nevertheless, V'adarba be'edosecha negdim ha'achim. I will speak of your edos, your my edus, I'll speak of your testimonies and your statutes. I will not be embarrassed. So the danger to midas hazehirus, or the danger to losing midas hazehirus, is being involved in negative chabura. And everybody just going along with the tide because they're too afraid to say, well, maybe this isn't what we should be speaking about. And it's a challenge. And if we think it's not a challenge, we are fooling our very own selves. It's very hard when we find ourselves in a situation where the conversation becomes negative to stand up and say, you know, this isn't such a good idea. So let's go back to the beginning. Quickly, we're going to read through it now. Go back to bottom of page 146. Afshehu roa kama anashim chashuvim. Later without commentary, even if you see some important people, she'enam zahirim b'koach hadibur, they are not zahir. You know, sometimes you might even see rabbanim who, in the middle of a drasha, they come to say things that aren't appropriate. Maybe you've heard this before. It's possible that it happens, but you shouldn't take it as a haskama. We realize that everybody's a human being and everybody has weaknesses, but I shouldn't take it as a haskama to speak negatively. So if someone is not zahir, al yomad mehem, you have to be careful. We spoke about midas hazahirus. Don't learn from them. V'ya l'negir eina ma'isa de'asim v'arbaim alaf. Arba Aleph Talmidim, you should have the 24,000 Talmidim, and this is why I brought you the importance of having a positive Chabura. And the Mesudas Sharim says there are three things that cause a person to lose Zahirus. One is being involved in this world. Two is Schok and Latzon. And three is Chavra Ra'a. They could not escape. You know, what are you going to tell Hashem on Rosh Hashanah when my neshama gets called to court? What am I going to say? It wasn't my fault, Hashem. My friends were all talking about Hashem, so I didn't know what to do. It was her fault. Who am I going to sound like? Adam. What happened to Adam? Kicked out of the Garden of Eden. It wasn't me, God. It was her. It wasn't her. It was you. Why did you give it to me? So what am I going to say to Hashem? It wasn't my fault. How's that going to go over? Ad shalon al shalona hagu kavod zebazah. So look at the Chofetz Chaim. He adds something. What does he add? Even though you shouldn't join them, you also should not
judge them.
You shouldn't join them, but you shouldn't judge them. You should give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they never contemplated the materiality of the matter, the materialist matter. They never contemplated how important this is. They don't know. That's what you should think to yourself. Maybe they're not aware that they're speaking something that is hasar. Maybe they don't realize that what they're doing is not just like, you know, sometimes you see somebody doing something on Shabbos that you know is hasar to do on Shabbos. And what should you think to yourself? They may not know that it's really usher to do that on Shabbos. Maybe they don't know. It doesn't mean to join, but it also means to not negatively judge. And here we have, of course, the idea of Hevei Danus Kol Adam Lakaf Zchus. And nevertheless, Avedonis called them Kavzchus. Don't judge anybody from the Rav to the Chaver in a negative fashion. You should always judge to the benefit of the doubt. So I wanted to quote from Rav Freifeld Zatzah, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. He begins by quoting a Gemara. Okay? Listen to a Gemara. You find it in Meshach HaShabbos, Kof Chav Zayin Beis, 127b. The Gemara there tells an interesting story. The Gemara begins by making a statement. Hadan es chaveru lekaf zechus, danin also zechus. So what does the Gemara begin? Why can I say Gemara and begin together? What does the Gemara there introduce this teaching with? Also, talk about very relevant for Yom HaDin. How do we want Hashem to judge us? Want him to overlook? Please don't be so medactic. Please don't be so exacting. It's true I did that, but can't you overlook it, God? So if we overlook others' flaws, Hashem overlook ours. Hadan es chaveru lekaf zechus, he who gives his friend the benefit of the doubt. Danin oso lizchus, he is judged in that same fashion. You judge other people kindly, says Rav Freifeld. Look at them in a positive light, positive aspect in others. That's the way that Almighty will look at you, positively. The Gemara gives three stories. I'm only going to tell you one, because even one is a little bit lengthy. Rav Freifeld says they're very interesting. The first story is a man who lived in the Upper Galilee, in the Galilee, in Eretz Yisrael, in the north. He needed a job. He went to the south to seek employment. He went all the way to Be'er Sheva. And he found employment with a certain landowner. It was very far from home, but what could he do? He needed a job. He worked for 3 years, 3 years away from home. He worked so he could return to his family. At the end of the 3 years, Erev Yom Kippur. He's going to go home. And the man approached the landowner and he said, it's time for me to go home. Please give me the wages I earned. I'm going home to my family. Take care of my wife. I need to take care of my wife and my children. The landowner said, I'm sorry. I don't have money. The man didn't say anything. After 3 years of working faithfully, he was entitled to pay. He did not lose himself. Remember last week we said once a person loses their emotions, then they're, not last week, last class, they're liable to say and do anything. All right, said the man, give me produce. If you don't have money, give me the equivalent of what you owe me in produce, whatever it is, a wagon full of wheat, give me fruit, I'll find customers along the way. I'll sell the produce, I'll make money, I'll go home to my family. I'm sorry, said the landowner, I don't have produce. All right, said the man, give me a piece of land. Give me a piece of real estate that you owe me instead. I'll sell the land. I'll find a buyer. I'll make money. I have no real estate. Give me livestock. Give me some animals. I'll sell my animals. No animals. Pillows, quilts, household items. Give me something that I can sell. I don't have. After 3 years of work, can you imagine being told the landowner, who you see the goings on his estate, has nothing? The man doesn't say anything. Doesn't do anything. He throws his meager belongings into a sack, slings it over his shoulder, and leaves. He trudges homeward with little more than the shirt on his back. 3 years of work, nothing. I'm sure his family was happy to see him, but can you imagine the kind of sukkah, says Rav Freifeld, that they had? After sukkahs, the landowner took the money from Be'er Sheva that the man earned, and he loaded up 3 donkeys with food, with wine, and with assorted delicacies, and he set out to the Galil to find the worker. The man welcomed the employer cordially. They sat down. They enjoyed food. The landowner handed the man his wages in full. Again, this is a Freifel quoting the Gemara. This isn't like a fairy tale here. When you asked for your money, said the landowner, and I said I didn't have anything, what did you think? What did you suspect me of? What thoughts crossed your mind? I thought your money was tied up, said the man. I know you. I worked for 3 years. You're a nice person. And you said you have no money. I believed you. Maybe you invested in a business opportunity. You came across a deal. It was a reasonable thing. When I said I have no livestock, what did you think? I thought you might have rented out your animals to others. When I said I have no land, I thought maybe you leased out your land. When I said I have no produce, you knew I had crops. I had a full harvest. What did you think? I thought there was an issue with Truma and Meiser. And the produce couldn't be used. And I said, I had no pillows, no quilts, no household items. Look at the Maisa, the Gemara relates, the degree that a person is required to go to. You know, I spoke, I'm taking a break from the Gemara for a second. I spoke, this is not just a story brought down in the Gemara. I spoke by the home of Helen Wolf. Does anyone know Helen Wolf? Yeah?
Yeah.
She lives at the corner of Bryant and Longacre. So it was her father's 10th yahrzeit this summer. So she made a shal shudas, a lady shal shudas, and a shir, lili nishmaso. So the yahrzeit was actually on the Shabbos. So her mother's Hannah Reich Berman. Mm-hmm. Right. She
She's
writes
my
in the.
Aunt.
What?
She's my daughter-in-law's aunt.
Oh, okay. So listen to the story. So first, she sent me some information about her father that I should, you know, tie it into the shir. I requested some information tied into the shir. And she told over the following story in her introduction. One thing she said about her father is he always tried to see the good in people. She said he didn't not speak Lashon Hara. He didn't think Lashon Hara. She told the following story. Her father was a fish delivery man. That was, remember, the seltzer man and the milk man. I don't know if we remember, my grandparents' generation, my mother remembers, and the fish delivery man. He was a fish delivery man. So one day, he made a delivery of fish, and the restaurant was not kosher. And he walks in. I mean, it's the olden days. They don't have big trucks and big shipping companies. He walks in, and he sees who's sitting at the counter, a guy with a yarmulke, and it's not kosher. He doesn't know what to do. So he goes over to the man, and he says to him, excuse me, good morning, maybe you don't realize this restaurant's not kosher. He got in his head, maybe it used to be kosher, now it's not kosher. And the man doesn't know. Instead of saying, oh, you're with a yarmulke, think about a dishonest, disloyal person he is. He couldn't even take off his kippah to come eat treif. He has to show the whole world. He thought to himself, maybe it used to be kosher. And now it's not kosher, and he doesn't know. What would we think? Think, put yourself in such a matzav. Would you ever give anyone such a benefit of the doubt? Maybe you would. But just think of the degrees that someone can go to, a regular person who becomes chus. So the funny part of the story is that the man looked at Halimov's father. He said, what? And he points to the silk pipe. He says, oh, this? He says, I just came from a funeral down the block. But the point is the degree that a regular person can go to try and be down the kafzachos. Going back to the story from the Gemara. I had no crops. Oh, I thought maybe everything was true in my room. I had no pillows, no quilts. You know I had a house full of furniture. What did you think? I thought for some reason everything was hectic. You gave all your property to the Beis HaMikdash and there was nothing left in your wealth. I give you my word, said the landlord. This is exactly what happened. You know my son Hyrcanus, he didn't want to learn Torah. I made a vow to give everything to the Beis HaMikdash. In the schus of the tzedakah, maybe my son would come to Torah. But when I told the rabbis what I had done, they released me from my vow. Now he has what to pay. As for you, since you judged me so favorably, may the Almighty judge you favorably. And the Gemara says, Hadan es chaver lekaf zechus, danin oso lezechus. Is there a more relevant, awe-inspiring, important mussar? Scary. All day we go around ultimately judging people on it. You see people always thinking things about other people. You could have been angry at me. You knew I was rich. All of a sudden I can't pay you. No money, no cattle, no land, not a few pillows. You worked for 3 years. You could have hated me. You viewed me in a positive light. For that you deserve to be blessed. So Rav Feifeld says this is the first story. There are two more. I'm not reading you the other two. But now I want to quote from Rav Feifeld's conclusion. And he says the Gemara is not a book of fairy tales. These stories are real life. They're talking to every one of us. They model the attitudes we ingrain in ourselves. But Feifeld says, no, people always, if you read his biography, he was a person, or if you had the schus to know or to have sheikhus with Feifeld, he was a person who accepted everybody. People always ask me, what's the matter with this world? It's such a hostile place. People are unfriendly, bad relationships. People say they don't have friends. You can't imagine when people tell me. Feifeld says, I don't know what the problem is. He says, I do know what the problem is. We are not dan lekaf zechus. We don't give others the benefit of the doubt. We don't judge others favorably. We look up people the wrong way. One second. We want a better world, but we don't judge other people properly. We don't want to give others the benefit of the doubt, so we don't have friends, relationships suffer, man and wife don't get along, teacher and student, relatives. Everyone loses when people don't judge others favorably. We're all guilty. And says Rav Feifeld, I don't exclude myself. We strut around on the stage of life and we see someone look at us the wrong way. And what's the first thing that comes to mind? Oh, I'll get him. If only you knew all the tragedies and heartache, the anguish and pain that results from not looking at someone in the right way. Not long ago, I had a conversation with a young man who was into a certain type of learning. And he said, I don't do that anymore. Why not? I asked him. I stopped after our conversation a few years ago, this person said to her friend. What are you talking about? What conversation? We had a conversation, said this town, that you looked down on what I was doing. You didn't think it was good. I was baffled. I looked down on what you were doing while you said this and this. Private said, yes, the young man was struggling with his learning. It was my pride and joy. I couldn't have been happier. However, something I said was totally misconstrued. He changed the course of his learning and his life because he did not judge me favorably. So Rav Feifeld says about this person. So ultimately, who suffers when we are not giving Danakav Schus?
Ourselves.
Ourselves. Our happiness, our simcha, our direction, our menuchas hanafesh. There are parents who are ready to judge and condemn their children. Every time I make a move, I see this with the best people, the best parents. A child makes a move right away. A parent assumes something's wrong. It can make a child crazy. Can you imagine growing up under such conditions? I know fine, good people. They keep long lists in their mind of all the people who they think are wrong. This one did this and that one did that. I have no doubt most of these grievances might be groundless, based on mean-spirited interpretation. And even if someone wronged them, a person with a positive view would have long ago forgiven the guilty person. It says in the biography of Belsky Zatzal that he was never insulted. Someone says, and we're talking about a very high magic, and we did speak about the power a little while ago. The Gemara says, besides for Kol Sharim Na'alim Chutz Mishari Dima, the Gemara also says, Kol Sharim Na'alim Chutz Mishari Ona'a. There is power to tefillah that emanates from a place of being heard. But Heimerjig, it says, Rovelsky was never insulted. It says it was like they weren't even talking to him. It slid off, right off him. He didn't care what other people said. We are a community of people, says Rafeifel. Can you imagine what the world would be if we could all get up one day and judge everyone else? Lekaf zuchos. Can you imagine what the community would look like? Can you imagine what personal relationships would look like? Now, judging other people favorably does not mean you have to wear rose-tinted glasses. It doesn't mean fooling yourself. It doesn't mean papering over everything and saying everything is nice and sweet and sunny. That's superficial. It's trying to really understand someone else's predicament. And I heard, this is Rav Freifeld, that's all. I heard of Shai Shachter say this in a shiur a little while ago, and he gave on Dan Lekaf Sechus. It's a very similar idea. He said it doesn't mean saying the other person is doing the right thing, but it means, what would I have done if I was in that situation? Maybe if I had that nishayon, I would have. I can't imagine. That's why you can't judge another person until you get to their shoes, but you will never be in their shoes. It's not everything is perfect and sunny and sweet, says Rafael, and sunny and sweet and nice. That's superficial. That's not a good basis for a solid relationship. It means realizing the other person has predicaments that I can't envision, that I don't understand. We must approach situations with depth, understanding, and insight to shine a positive light onto the complexities that make up a human being. You know, someone sent me a very good WhatsApp. Dina Plout. You know Dina Plout? Hello? Yes, you do. She daven's at Shari, doesn't she?
I do. Yeah.
You know?
No.
Okay.
Yes, I know.
So it's a picture of an apple. I don't know if you could see, but it's a nice way to end our class. You saw this already?
No.
Okay, it's a picture of an apple looking in a mirror. And the image in the mirror is the apple is whole and complete. But the back image of the apple is that the apple is all eaten up. In other words, when you look at the mirror, when you look at that person, all you see is the perfect apple. But what you don't see from the back is that they're missing half of themselves. Someone took a bite out of them. Someone hurt them. They've been abused. They're missing a whole chunk in their life. You don't see that. You only see the front. So you think, oh, how could they do X, Y, and Z? You don't know anything about why they're doing X, Y, and Z. And it was very powerful. You don't know more than half the story. You don't know what's going on behind. And Rav Feifel says, it doesn't mean, it doesn't mean everything's nice and sweet and sunny. Yes, there might be real things that are going on that are not being done properly. But it's, instead of me judging, try and understand that if I was in that situation, maybe I too would have behaved the same way. Trying to see the positive in people. So therefore, when we call makom bedato, yadin osam lekafso. So it's very important for us to remember that just because we shouldn't be me'urevas always in habrios, there's times when you need to stay away. When you see chashuv people who are not zahir, it doesn't mean you should be not zahir. You should be zahir. And if the Yetzer Hara tries to tell you, aren't you supposed to? I'm combining the Chavetz Chaim with the Mesillas Yesharim that we learned today. Aren't you supposed to mingle with people? You're just going to be ostracized. Remember, they're going to make fun of you. You should remind yourself that it's only when they're doing the proper thing, ma'isa adam, and not ma'isa behema, that I have to be with other people. If I was running to make money, would I let their mockery and scoffing make detract me from the goal of reaching $1,000? I would not listen to any of them. $1,000,000? What's a mitzvah worth? Nevertheless, because incumbent upon us, nevertheless, to give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they don't appreciate the severity of the matter. And when we can do that, how appropriate for Yom Hadin. We will be judged. Let's see if we have time. Let me see something. Okay, we have seen that a derogatory statement about someone is not to be believed as fact, even for a constructive purpose. This relates to being done the chavschus. One is to take the necessary precautions without changing his attitude towards the subject. Very hard. Once you hear something, your attitude automatically changes. We've also learned to cause another Jew to transgress. So causing someone else to sin is violating lifnei iver lo sitei michshal. You can't set someone else up to the station where they're going to hear lashon hara, where they're going to be michshal. Consequently, when one relates negative information for a constructive purpose, we must be careful not to cause the listener to sin by believing the information is fact. It's very hard, I think, because once you hear something negative about somebody, then what happens? It's in your head forever. The proper way to convey negative information for to'alas is to preface it with a statement as, don't take my word for it. I may be mistaken, but take the matter seriously. And then you sow some doubt into their mind. Maybe this is not really accurate. Maybe I need to look into it. Maybe it's not 100% true. And you have conveyed the necessary information with leaving a shadow of a doubt. Okay? So, Be'ezras Hashem, Danas Chaveir Lechav Zchus, Danin Oso Lezchus. And we should all be so Zocha.